Drive, chip, and putt. Golf is so easy. Four? Okay, maybe the occasional wedge. Let's talk golf. It's the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN Chicago. Presented by the Glenview Park Golf Club. Now here are your hosts, Mike Gilligan and Tyler Rocky.
Hey Jude, don't let me down. You have found her.
Good morning and welcome on in to the CDGA Golf Show, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club, or good afternoon, maybe, if you're joining us from across the pond right now, taking in the Open Championship out at Royal Liverpool. Tyler Rocky, Mike Gilligan, we talk golf with you every single Saturday here, 8 to 10 a.m. on ESPN 1000. We'll check in across the pond with James Colgan from Golf.com, one of our favorite guests here on the show. He is live at the Open Championship. We'll also talk with Jake Marsh from Barstool Sports. He will be on the call of the NV5 taking place up at the Glen Club in Glenview. So we will do all of that on today's show. Looking forward to all of that. Jake's actually going to join us in studio today, one of Chicago's newest residents, Jake Marsh. So nice. he will join us in studio here. But we've got the Open Championship going on right now, Mike, and we've got morning golf right now. We are seeing some ideal conditions right now. If you look at some of the scores, John Rahm just carded another birdie. He is 5 under and has shot up 35 places today. Wow. Alone. 35 places before people have even woken up yet on this Saturday morning, as he is now in a tie for 4th alongside Minwoo Lee, Shubhankar Sharma, and Jason Day. And I think sort of the story of the Open through one round, or through the cut line, and now as we creep into round three, is, boy, there's a lot of names we don't know on this leaderboard. Now, it's starting to normalize itself a little bit right now with some of the guys who, I mean, you've got some of the most talented golfers in the world who, they were sitting in like the 30s and 40s. They've already gone off, and they've already started off with some good rounds for today. But a lot of unknown at the top to begin today's round.
No doubt. And that's what happens with the British Open, because you're getting a lot of people that we've never heard of qualifying from various tours from all around the world. This is probably the most international field we see throughout the calendar season. And it's kind of nice. We familiarize ourselves with some new players, some new names, and some new names will ultimately become household names. You never know. But yeah, the story obviously is the course. It's going to be a lot. Is going to be the weather a little bit later today, but you can clearly see the best players in the world taking advantage of some of the best conditions that they've seen all week. They've had rain throughout most of the night. It turned off just as they got started. So you're looking at a course that is soft. The greens are rolling a little bit slower than they normally are. And of all the four majors, these are the slowest greens. But you're seeing guys now taking advantage of the situation, the world's best doing what they do, and you're starting to see, as you say, some of the more household names starting to creep up, and Brian Harman is starting to see some people in his rearview mirror.
He's going to have a pressure-packed round. He's your leader right now, Brian Harman, at 10 under, a five-stroke lead on the field. I've got this right here, all right? This is courtesy of the PGA Tour Communications. Brian Harman, with that five-stroke lead, is the ninth player in the last 40 years to hold a 36-hole lead of five strokes or more in a major. Each of the previous eight went on to win, including Scottie Scheffler at the 2022 Masters. Also, you've got Brooks Koepka in 2019 at the PGAs. He had a seven-stroke lead. Jordan Spieth at the 2015 Masters, Rory McIlroy at the 2011 U.S. Open, Tiger back at the 2000 U.S. Open. So a number of big names there. And Brian Harman joining the list of now nine golfers who have held a five-stroke or more lead after 36. But, I mean, I feel like you always say this with some of these not-as-household names at the top, but it can be a shaky Saturday for some of these guys. And I got to say, like, if Brian Harman feels a little susceptible now because of the weather conditions. I mean, you look at the tournament list that I'm giving you here. The only player that has held a five-stroke lead in the last 4 years at the Open was Louis Oosthuizen and he went on to win that back in 2010. But you look at all these other tournaments, you got the Masters, the U.S. Open, and the PGAs all well represented on this list. You don't see a lot of Open Championship, and that's because the weather plays such a big factor where you can't really get to a five-stroke lead after 36.
You are so spot on, and that's what makes, I think, this particular major so far different than any of the others. And when you consider a guy like Brian Harman, first off, he may be big on the leaderboard, but he is small in stature. He is 5'7". He weighs 155 pounds, and that's soaking wet. But his putter has powered the lefty thus far, and he's gained 8 shots on the green. He's made 264 feet of putts throughout the first 2 days, 124 feet yesterday. He has not missed. Are you ready for this? He has not missed within 10 feet. And wow, that is the kiss of death, because he is a guy who has said that his putter has been, as he said, misbehaving lately. Who doesn't have a putter that misbehaves? I certainly have many. But in his case, he hasn't missed within 10 feet yet. And once he does, how he's able to handle that and continue to either stay in form, or does that unnerve him when he starts to find himself coming back closer to the field? And between, like you mentioned, the timing of when he goes out, the timing of the weather, and now watching the likes of the world's best and John Rahm and, you know, Patrick Cantlay and Xander Schauffele all climbing into this thing, and he still hasn't even teed off. So, folks, I hope you're getting your second cup of coffee, get some bacon and eggs going, and sit back and have a great morning watching the boys at Liverpool.
Yeah, and I'm looking right now. Brian Harman on the tour, he is 39th in strokes gained putting there, so you'd imagine some of that regression going to slowly roll back, especially now that you're, even though the greens should be a little more favorable, it's still something that for him, the trek to get there when he eventually tees off is in all likelihood going to be a little bit more spotty. It's going to be a little bit more adventurous than some of these guys who are having absolutely perfect conditions out there right now. And it would not shock me if we just see this leaderboard sort of flip a little bit. We see some of these guys who were in the 30s make their way into the top 10, top 7, maybe even top 5, like we're seeing John Rahm do right now, and really put a charge in and make things difficult for Harman, not just today, but on Sunday as well.
Yeah, no doubt. And, you know, he, again, Brian Harman is not a guy that's accustomed to being comfortable in this situation, because why? He just hasn't been here yet. So now this is going to be a new experience for him, a new opportunity, but also an opportunity to, let's say, go backwards as well. I highly doubt that he is going to put the hammer down and go another 5 under to get to 15 under. I've heard the winning score by a lot of experts are still thinking that it's still going to be around -6 is going to be the winning score. So we and the experts are all thinking he is going to come back to the field. That's got to be your, you know, your overall thought process there. But, you know, and a lot is going to be, you know, we haven't mentioned his name yet, but Tommy Fleetwood Mac, he's going to have the home crowd working in his favor in a large way.
Just like Rory did last year. And even though it didn't pan out for Rory, you could feel the buzz last year at the Open when he was at St. Andrews. And you could see that it just felt a little bit different with Rory and him and Cam Smith going head-to-head down the stretch there. I will say this about Brian Harman. Even though he's an American, this is a tournament he has performed well in the past. You look at the last two that he has participated in, both have been top 20s. He was tied for 19th in 21, tied for 6th last year. So he is no stranger to having success at the Open. But, all right, let's see what it's like when you have this level of success. What do you look like on Sunday now if you're Brian Harman? Because that's a totally different beast. And for someone whose putts have been as good as they have been, like you alluded to, hasn't missed inside of 10 feet so far in this tournament through 36 holes, those hands get a little bit shakier once you're on a Sunday round and even today on a Saturday when you're holding a 5-stroke lead.
And the worst thing that can happen to a guy like Brian that hasn't missed within 10 feet is when the media calls him out on it and lets him know that, hey, in fact, you haven't missed from 10 feet. Really? So he probably didn't even know that. I mean, how often do we not how often do we miss from 10 feet out in our regular day? So Brian has his work cut out for him, but Brian has a lot on the line as well. He's right there. He could move up considerably to be now a factor in Zach Johnson's thought consideration for the Ryder Cup. You know, and you got guys that are reeling, like the likes of Justin Thomas going backwards on that list. Here's a guy that's rising with a bullet, and even if he doesn't win, he is going to move up considerably. But I cannot wait till Tommy Fleetwood gets to the first tee. It's going to be an interesting, interesting day all the way around. And depending on where the likes of Rahm ultimately finishes, he still has, what, five holes still to go out there, and he's five under. So you never know. I mean, once you... you know, John Rahm is somewhat of the new Tiger. You see that John Rahm is coming. It gives you reason to take pause.
Yeah, absolutely. 312-332-3776. If you want to join us here on the CDGA Golf Show, this segment is sponsored by Geneva National. Experience 54 holes of legendary golf at Destination Geneva National. So Brian Harman, he did meet with the media after his second round, and he talked about holding on to this lead and just having the lead in general here after 36 holes.
Just not trying to get too caught up in it, and just, you know, it's just golf. You know, I think when I held the 54 hole lead at the U.S. Open, I just probably thought about it too much. Just didn't focus on getting sleep and eating right. And so that'll be my focus this weekend.
And then can you just talk about the eagle on 18? Because that seems like something where, well, he might have a nice lead. Then it's like, oh, now he might have a really, really nice lead.
Yeah, I made two really good pars on 16 and 17. I think that's almost just as important to where I felt kind of freed up on 18. And I made probably my two best swings of the day. And he got up there, I don't know, 12, 15 feet for eagle. So just played a really nice hole.
The U.S. Open, he's alluding to there, back in 2017 when he finished in a tie for second. And so he's no stranger to being around the mix, but we haven't heard his name very much. I mean, you look at the other majors for this season so far, he's been cut, and then he had a tie for 43rd at the U.S. Open. So he's been in the mix before, but he's rarely been in this sort of mix right here.
Yeah, he's going really what I consider going from the frying pan into the fire.
Yeah.
And he is going to, you know, like you said, he's been around, but he just hasn't been able to close. And I think closing this one would be a huge feather in his cap to really catapult his career. But I got to be honest with you. If you said, would you take Brian Harman or the field? I'm taking the field.
And I can't believe I'm saying this, with a five-stroke lead, and I've given you the stat here, after a 36-hole lead of five or more strokes in a major, the previous eight guys have gone on to win.
Right.
Like, even with all that, I do feel like this is a different beast here at the Open.
It's
a different beast, and Brian Harman is someone who, even though he's had some success in this tournament, it's a little bit different when you've got John Rahm creeping up on you like he is right now. You want to join us, 312-332-3776. When we come back, I do want to talk about some of the players that didn't make the cut, including Justin Thomas, who has had a rough go of it here
really
in 2023. He has really fallen off since his PGA Championship win last year. We will discuss all of that when we come back. This segment brought to you by Geneva National. Experience 54 holes of legendary golf at Destination Geneva National.
This is the CDGA Golf Show, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club, ESPN 1000, 100.3 HD2, and the ESPN Chicago app. How's your golf game? Yeah, mine too, but more on that later. It's time for more golf talk on the CDGA Golf Show, your guide to golf around the world and in your neighborhood. The CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000. Now here are your hosts, Mike Gilligan and Tyler Aki.
This segment is brought to you by Tour Edge. Tyler Aki, Mike Gilligan with you here on the CDGA Golf Show. So the leaderboard after 36 holes was very interesting. Not a lot of household names, a lot of obscure names on that 36-hole leaderboard, especially inside the top 30. And that is largely because of some of the guys that we're not going to be seeing play on Saturday and Sunday here through the weekend. And let's just get into a couple of the guys who missed the cut here, who maybe we expected to play well or at least be still playing on Saturday and Sunday. And I'm just going to fire through a couple names here. Tony Finau is someone who we've seen some pretty good consistency out of in majors, at least to make cuts. Shane Lowry, I think, is one that both you and I are shocked by. I think both of us had
absolutely
him in our CDGA fantasy pool. I was really shocked, and he really, really struggled on that second day. He goes five over. He really just struggled, and it felt like this was going to be a course that would fit him well. And just looking at the leaderboard, a lot of Europeans near the top of that, I would have thought Shane Lowry would have gone out there and really shown something, but he really, really struggled in this one. I think of all the guys that sort of missed the cut, him and Colin Morikawa are probably the two that really leave you scratching your head a little bit.
No doubt. I mean, not only those two, but there's other significant players like a Keegan Bradley, Sam Burns. But, you know, a lot of people don't know, but Taylor Gooch.
The live warrior.
He has been lighting it up. And I picked him because I thought he was going to absolutely excel at the British Open. But with rounds 74, 75, he was sent packing home early from Hoylake. So, but to your point, I think Colin Morikawa, huge, huge surprise. Mm-hmm. Shane Lowry, no doubt. You know, we'll get to Justin Thomas, but Phil Mickelson.
He started hot.
He did. And then how about Dustin Johnson?
Mm-hmm.
81.
Yeah.
74, you look at 81. He said, I'm going home.
Yeah, that Friday round, a 10 over for him, two doubles and six bogeys. DJ gets into this groove where if he knows he's not making the cut, he gets a little lazy, and he wants to accentuate the point almost that he's not making the cut. But yeah, the 10 over there. And then a guy that we need to talk about, man, Justin Thomas. What has happened to his game over the last year and change ever since he won the PGA Championship at Southern Hills? And let's not forget, yeah, he won it, but did he win it or did Mito Pereira lose it last year? I think you could make the argument for both. He had a fantastic Sunday that kind of put him in contention and got him to the playoff there. But his game has fallen off tremendously. We were poking fun at DJ for his 10-over. JT fires an 11-over on Thursday, the opening round. And he improves by 11 strokes the next day, and it's still good for an 11-over for the tournament.
No doubt. You know, and JT's round started off not on a good note. He gets right by the first green and, you know, looks like he has a, you know, moderately easy chip for a guy of his caliber, and he chipped it right into the bunker.
Yeah.
And that's where his open got started, and then he promptly ended it on the 18th hole, making a smooth 9. He made a 9. A quadruple bogey.
It's been one of those years for JT. So I've got, this is courtesy of ESPN Stats and Info. Justin Thomas, in his first 109 rounds in majors, has a score of 80 or worse just once. In his first 109 rounds, in his last three, he's got two.
Two.
And they were consecutive, too. They were the last round that he played at the U.S. Open, and then this round. He has just not been himself this year. And this is a guy who's a major winner a little over a year ago. Like, you would have expected to see him kind of bottle a little bit of that up and take it, and you feel like he would be near the peak of his game. But, like, there's a couple guys, and I almost want to group three guys here. Spieth, Morikawa, and JT. Like, which one of those three guys wins the next major out of that group of three? Because those are guys who, boom, they came out hot in their careers. They've had some early success, but boy, they just have not been themselves as much as of late. They haven't really been in, like, they've had top 20s, they've had top 30s, they've made cuts, but they haven't been in the mix really on Sundays at a lot of these majors.
No, they really haven't. And if you watch social media, I follow a lot of these guys, and it seems that of late the three guys that you're talking about, and there's a couple of others, they are spending a lot of time away from the golf course. I mean, you're seeing them at Wimbledon. You're seeing them at
Morikawa in particular.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know something? I mean, it. You know, Jack Nicklaus once said the hardest thing he faced in his career was really after he got married and started having a family. The rigors of being a good father, being a good husband, and doing all those things. And then on top of the success, the endorsements, and all the rest of it. But all these little things take away from practicing, from being focused, having that razor-sharp edge to you, both mentally as well as physically. And I just think that, you know, their life is becoming a lot more comfortable. I mean, I can tell you right now, JT's probably not flying coach home from the British Open to go to the 3M event, which he's now committed to try to save his Ryder Cup aspirations. But when you mentioned the PGA Championship last year in Mito, yes, I think he did lose it. But when you get head-to-head match play against Justin and it's just you and him, he's a tough, tough, tough player.
Especially if you're a younger guy.
Exactly. Yeah. But you now put him in a field with the world's greatest. He's having a very difficult time separating himself from the rest. And his game has given him some doubt. He's admittedly pressing. He's going back to almost like how he thought about making the Ryder Cup in his first year or so on tour and how that didn't end well because he was trying too hard. And I think he's recognizing the fact that he is trying a little too hard, trying to force the issues and really not letting the course come to him. He's trying to force his game down the course's throat, and it's not working.
You look at his last six major finishes. This is dating back to last year's U.S. Open at the Country Club in Brookline. Tied for 37th, tied for 53rd at the Open last year. Then you get into 2023. Cut at the Masters, tied for 65th, where he was the defending champion at the PGA Championship. Cut at the U.S. Open, cut at the Open.
Yep.
Like, that's the last six rounds we've seen out of JT for a guy who opened 22, top 10 at the Masters, and then wins the PGA. Like, I don't know what it is. I mean, I'm just kind of looking at his numbers right now. Is he just an odd year guy? Like, is it like an every other year thing? He looks great. Like, 2022, he was fantastic. 2020, he was really good with a pair of top 10s. 2018, he had a top 10 in there. Like, is he maybe just an even year guy? Like, some people are just like that. Maybe he bounces back next year and wins a major. Maybe he goes out and wins the Masters next year. Who knows?
Right.
But like the way that his game is right now, he just does not look like the same golfer.
No, and he's playing under what I call duress and stress now because he is outside the designated events next year. Mm-hmm. He is not on the Ryder Cup team by any stretch of the imagination. And if you are Captain Zach Johnson and you're looking at this body of work of late, are you going to pick him? But when I was at Whistling Straits, the last time the Ryder Cup was played, you know, here, I mean, in fact, it was the last time it was played, Justin Thomas was a big part of that success. Yeah. He was not only a producer in the way of points, but he was also just a great person in the locker room for team, you know, chemistry and camaraderie. He was just the guy. So he's got those intangibles with him. But, man, that's going to be a tough decision for Zach Johnson. But I'm hoping for Zach's perspective, for the United States team's perspective, and for Justin's, that he can get his game together and turn around. And who knows, maybe win at 3M next week. It could turn around that quickly, or it could go into an absolute tailspin.
Speaking of Zach Johnson, he actually spoke about Justin Thomas. He was asked about this after his round, after 36 holes. Zach Johnson, by the way, tied for 57th right now at 3 over. This was Zach Johnson talking about JT's game right now and his consideration for the Ryder Cup at the moment.
Well, as a friend and roommate, I mean, I'm concerned just because he's my buddy, and I know what he's capable of.
With the Ryder Cup,
I do know. Well, yeah, I mean, obviously he's a stalwart in that event, right? I don't know his record off the top of my head, but I know it's pretty good.
As a European, I can assure you it's very good.
It's very good, yeah. And again, he those kind of moments like that, he's one of the best there is. So let's hope whatever sort of non-peak he's in, it's short. I know he's got a great team. I love his coaches. I love how he works He's a worker. So guys with talent like that that work and aren't afraid to put their work in the dirt, if you will, not to be cliche, typically find it. It's just a matter of when, not if. And I mean, I might be slightly concerned, like I said, as a friend, but I'm not worried about him because I know what he does and I know what he's capable of.
He's got the body of work, but the way that his kind of recent track record is skewing right now wouldn't shock me if he's not a part of this Ryder Cup team, even though he has been as dominant as he has in those Ryder Cups before.
Agreed. And the next couple of weeks are going to be big for him, for Zach, and for the team in determining who's going to Rome and who's staying home and watching it on TV.
All right, when we come back, we will actually head out to Royal Liverpool and check in with James Colgan from golf.com. He will give us the lay of the land and what's going on with the leaderboard right now, including the charge from Jon Rahm. Also, we'll get a weather report from him as well,
yeah,
because I
right.
think that's going to be the story of the afternoon here. So we will do all of that with James when we come back. This segment has been brought to you by Tour Edge. Tyler Aki, Mike Gilligan, this is the CDGA Golf Show.
This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app. Welcome into the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club. Here's your hosts, Mike Gilligan and Tyler Aki.
This segment brought to you by Zero Friction and their new Wheel Pro Golf Bag. Tyler Aki, Mike Gilligan with you here on the CDGA Golf Show. Talking all things Open Championship here. So let's head on out across the pond now to Royal Liverpool, where we check in with James Colgan from golf.com. He joins us on the Jersey Mike's hotline. Jersey Mike's a sub above. James, I guess good afternoon to you over there out in Royal Liverpool. It's been a crazy first 36 holes so far of this Open Championship and the leaderboard. A lot of names that a lot of the casual golf fans aren't recognizing. We're actually going to try to get James back on the line here real quick.
He dropped off.
Yeah, we lost connection with him.
Somewhere over
across
the pond.
Yes, the interference across international
technology,
waters. There,
it's great. When it works.
But we will get James back with us here in just a second. But yeah, just to kind of give you a little bit of an update on what is going on right now. So we have not seen the final pairing go off yet. They still have about another hour until they tee off here, but Jon Rahm is making his move right now. He is 5 under, although he did just have a less than desirable shot there on the 15th hole. But he is 5 under. He has shot up 35 spots. Tom Kim making a little run here on this Saturday. He is 3 under today. He's through 6. We do anticipate the weather to get a little bit more dicey, but it's something that certainly to watch here. Some of these guys who early on in their rounds are going low to start. But let's head on out now across the pond. Royal Liverpool is where we find James Colgan from golf.com. He joins us on the Jersey Mike's hotline. So, James, I was saying after 36 holes, the casual golf fan probably very unfamiliar with the leaderboard, but what was your biggest takeaway from the first two rounds and sort of what you've seen here early on this Saturday?
Man, I mean, the story of the first two rounds of this tournament has been, none other than our 5-stroke leader, Brian Harman. I mean, the guy came out, played unbelievably well. He's in, was able to kind of fly under the radar yesterday, shot easily one of the best rounds of the year I've seen in professional golf. I mean, that eagle on the 18th, it was just the top of what was truly a round that left me in disbelief. It was a really, really difficult golf course yesterday and really difficult conditions, and he played unbelievably well. Today, though, things are going to be slightly different. For one thing, he's going to be playing with the undisputed favorite of the locals here, Tommy Fleetwood. The crowd has been seemingly trying to will him to victory here. But if not for the two of them, it will be one of the guys, kind of trailing from behind. And that group is slowly growing as the morning sort of plays out. We've got a big, big group of players who are going low today. There's not much wind. There's not much rough. And all of it has kind of led to this
Let's try to reestablish James's connection real quick here. Yeah, just kind of looking at this, the 36-hole leaderboard, there are a lot of guys who were not in the thick of things, but you look at some of the guys who have made their moves today. Another name that we haven't really talked about much here, Matt Fitzpatrick. He fires four up. Under, and he is two under for the tournament now, and he is tied for 11th, and he has shot up 28 spots along with Corey Connors. Let's check back in with James now here on the Jersey Mike's hotline. Actually, I think we just lost connection with him again. We'll try to get James back with us here.
So, you know, you mentioned, you know, with Brian Harman, the last three holes yesterday could have really dictated a different story. He mentions the two amazing pars that he made at 16 and 17. Mm-hmm. He doesn't make those and doesn't make eagle and just pars 18. That's four shots or more. And he could be right in the thick of this with everybody else. So a lot of things went right his way. The other guy to watch out for is somebody you just mentioned, Tom Kim. And, you know, here's a guy that hurt his ankle at the house that he's rented, twisted it, tore something in it. He's taping it up each day. And there's something to be said. Be mindful of the wounded warrior out there, Tom Kim.
Tom Kim has been someone who, I mean, he's been all over the place this year. He's had some solid rounds over the course of the season. He also he broke the internet. Which tournament was that where he stepped in all the mud? Do you remember that?
Oh.
Where he fell in the mud?
Yes.
I'm trying to remember which tournament that was now, but that was one of like the highlights of Tom Kim from the year. Oh. I want to say it was like a rainy day at the PGAs.
Yeah. I think it was.
Was it?
Was it there? Yeah, I think it was. It was crazy.
I want to say it was. All right, let's try this one more time with James here. James, you got us here across the pond. I don't know what's going on with the international waters right now.
Yeah, we are pushing through for some better phone service right now. I've been stalking my way around the media center here at the Open to try to find some connection for us. So we'll see if this is any better.
So, James, the weather has been ideal here in the morning rounds, at least morning here stateside. But what are you expecting weather-wise? What are they expecting out there? Could we see the leaderboard sort of flip after the 54 holes?
Absolutely. I mean, I think this is I think today is prime for scoring. We see a ton of guys in red numbers already. John Rahm, 5-under for the day. He's still got two par fives ahead of him here, so he could easily get to 7-under. Rory just started just a moment ago with a big birdie on the first hole. We've got just a prime condition for scoring. But the downside of that is the leader of this tournament, Brian Harman, up by 5 strokes right now. So if the scoring is good for everyone, it's going to be good for him, which is only going to make it harder to catch up. I think the hopes of the golfers who are trailing some of the bigger names is that Harman will struggle under the spotlight today. But yeah, we'll see if that happens, because the conditions are prime. This is about as easy as you'll ever see this golf course.
So James, a lot has been said about the new hole, both good and bad. That being hole number 17 and its role it could potentially play in deciding who wins this thing. Have you had a chance to go on out there and see just how diabolical this hole really is?
Oh, yeah. It was the first thing I saw when I came out on the golf course, Mike. I was so curious to see how this hole would look. And the honest answer is, if you are not here on site, it looks unlike anything else on the entire property. It is pretty flat piece of land where this golf course is. There's not a lot of land movement. It's a very old course, obviously, which, that is a lot of the reason for it. But the 17th almost looks like one of the green complexes at Pinehurst. I mean, it is this massive.
He had such a good answer for us there, and then we lost him.
He was
him.
About
All
to
right.
tell us about the infinity green that they have there, which is... It is diabolical. It is like trying to land a golf ball on the top of a hood of a Volkswagen Beetle. I mean, it's crazy how difficult that hole is going to be playing. And it's playing anywhere between 136 and 140 yards. But it is more nerves and stress that I think those guys will feel on any tee shot of the day is going to be right then and there. And it's with the shortest club in the bag. And it's just sort of ironic in that regard.
Yeah. I'm going to fire a text to James and ask him a couple other questions, and we'll get his report of what's going on there. So I will do that. Also, We do have some continued movement, including a new name inside the top three now. We'll tell you all about that when we come back. This segment brought to you by Zero Friction, the most innovative products company in golf.
This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app. From PGA to where you should play, this is the CDGA Golf Show with Mike Gilligan and Tyler Aki, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club.
By Fox Bend Golf Course. Tyler Aki, Mike Gilligan, talking all things golf with you, breaking down the Open Championship. We'll have Jake Marsh from Barstool Sports join us in studio here coming up at 9:35. He'll be on the call for the NV5 taking place up at the Glen Club, and an avid golfer himself. He actually got his first hole-in-one of his life earlier this year.
I saw that.
So we'll talk to him about all that stuff coming up in about 40 minutes from now right here on ESPN 1000. So, Mike, I want to run through some of the odds here of some other golfers that are not Brian Harman. Brian Harman right now, plus 160 to take this thing. So very short odds for a guy who has a five-stroke lead. And you may look at that and say, huh, five-stroke lead? It has been won by the last eight guys who have held a five-plus stroke lead after 36 holes. You still see a plus next to that number? Might have some value there. We've seen a few first-time major winners this year. Maybe a little bit of value there. Then you look at the rest of the field behind him. Tommy Fleetwood at plus 550. Rory at plus 750. John Rahm at 12-1. Jordan Spieth at 14-1. Then Minwoo Lee and Jason Day, each at 20-1, Cam Young, 22-1, as well as Sepp Straka at 22-1. And that's really, I think, where you'll lose the end of the contention line there. But in terms of like the Fleetwoods, the McIlroys, the Rahms, like any of those guys make you feel like, that may be worth a couple dollars here.
Yeah, and you know, a guy that's lurking in the distance is a guy like Corey Connors, for example. He's 4-under today and still has real estate left out there. And
Corey Connors 110-1 right now. So there may be some value there.
Yeah, that's where you look at that. But yeah, it's so interesting how these numbers quickly change just as the numbers are changing on the leaderboard, as are these. And they haven't even stepped off the first tee in some cases. But yeah, Brian Harman has his work cut out for him. And as we're watching the Open over our shoulder here, I'm watching now the flags starting to blow more. Credentials when Brian Harman was just walking out on the range, his credential around his neck was blowing straight out at 9 o'clock. So
yeah,
the conditions aren't getting any better. They're only going to get worse, I think, from here on in. And guys like Rahm are doing exactly what they need to do given the good weather that they're being, you know, granted early in the morning. So they have a very discernible advantage over what Brian Harman's going to be facing here in about, gosh, I guess he goes off in what, 45 minutes thereabouts.
Yeah. So I'm looking at one name here. How about John Rahm at 12-1? He is charging right now. He has vaulted his way all the way up into a tie for third right now. You know, if Harman cards a plus on his card today, like, he's going to be right in the thick of things here. Like, let's say Harman goes 2-over today, and it's a 4-stroke lead for him on Sunday. Who knows? Maybe Rahm's even playing in that final group as well when things are all said and done. Like, there's a chance he could catch him. And when I see 12-1 odds on a John Rahm right now, and even Rory, who started his round, he's already birdied. He's 1-under through one. And I think he's got a pretty solid look here to try to birdie his second, if I'm not mistaken. But, like, there's a chance that you're looking at some really, really valuable golfers here a little bit further down the line. Like, if Rory can get to, like, in the 5-under neighborhood by the end of the day, he might be in business to try to win this thing.
No doubt. And these guys, I think, you know, when you speak of Rahm and Rory, for example, you know, they know what it's like to be in the lead. But you put them as the chasers now, that's a role that they're amazing at. And that's the thing that Brian Harman has going on in the back of his mind. And is he knows that he has got the world's greatest coming after him versus, you know, trying to be in the lead and just managing to hold on to it. And Brian just has his work cut out for him in every sense of the word. So it's going to be an interesting time, but I love John Rahm at 12-1. I'd be all over that if I were in Vegas.
Yeah, I look at his odds right now, and as a guy who he can win the big one. We've seen him win before. He already has a major to his name this year back at the Masters. Boy, would that be great for him to bookend with a Masters and then an Open Championship to his name. That would be something that I would certainly be intrigued by heading into the BMWs and then into the Ryder Cup as well. All right, when we come back, we will reset everything that's been going on at the Open Championship. I do want to let you hear from Brian Harman as well. How's he feeling about the lead that he's got right now? And let's go through a little bit of the Ryder Cup implications as well, because that's another little subplot here as we're winding down the golf season, believe it or not.
That's
we
hard
are,
to believe.
I mean, this is the final major of the year.
I know.
Then you got the BMW Championships, and then you funnel right into the Ryder Cup at the end of September, early October. So we will do all that when we come back. This segment brought to you by Fox Bend Golf Course. The CDGA Golf Show will be back in 2 minutes.
This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000, 100.3 HD2, and the ESPN Chicago app.